The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 483. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Time to dive into hell.
And Brian Majoma.
Tony, do you want piracy? Because this is how you get piracy.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, if you couldn't guess, you know what we're going to be talking about, man. Okay, before we start, I do want to say this. This is one of the benefits of having two podcasts a week. Because this shit that popped off at Helldivers happened on a Friday. If we just had the Thursday show, like we used to back in ages long ago, we'd have to wait a full week. But now we bring this to you now, man. So... yeah, you already know Helldivers 2. That's been the conversation this week. And we got numerous questions. So I'm going to kind of tie them all together. But yeah, Alpha Chuck, Kiz Shack, you guys, you know, thank you for asking us questions about Helldivers. Because shit is getting crazy, you know. But before we get into it, Chris, I know you've been keeping an eye on this. Can you give us a brief overview of what's been happening with Helldivers?
All right. So on Friday, Sony... put out the policy that Steam players of Helldivers 2 will have to link their accounts to PSN, right? And they'll be under PSN EULA. And that caused a lot of people to get upset because they don't want to link their accounts to PSN. The deadline also is in a month, right? So that was announced Friday. So June 3rd or 4th, I think, is the deadline to link your account. Otherwise, you can't play the game anymore. Online. So they were pretty pissed about that. And then there's plenty of regions that don't have PSN access. There's like, I think the number I saw off of the SteamDB account was 177 countries where PSN's not available. Well, Sony went in and requested the game get delisted in those regions. So if you live there, like if you live in Madagascar or whatever, you cannot buy Helldivers 2 anymore. It's pulled. So that's fucked up. And the thing is, like, so the game's getting review bombed, obviously, or plenty pissed off. You have a situation where for 6 months, since February, since the game launched, people have been able to play freely, cross-platform, no problems. That's only because of the good graces of Arrowhead. They were the ones who decided that the game is not going to be locked to, you don't need account linking, right? They didn't implement it. Sony's the one who put the hammer down this week, doubled down on it, started pulling the game, requesting the game pulled from regions that don't support PSN, and then put in you have 30 days to link your account, otherwise you can't play anymore. This Chris, is all ridiculous measures.
Chris, hold on. Can you just do like one small correction. Arrowhead did implement the ability to link your account, but they disabled it because it was available at launch, but Arrowhead disabled it because the whole thing just broke and stopped people from playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, however this is shaking out poorly in reception of the game, it's getting review bombed, people are requesting refunds, even though Steam has a strict policy. If you play over 2 hours, you can't get a refund. But plenty of people are either calling Steam support, writing to them directly, putting in multiple requests if the automated one fails for refunds. I don't know if any of them are being granted. I haven't checked. Some people say they got a refund. I can't confirm that or not. Most people say, hey, I got rejected. This is not a good look. This is not a good look. And I think when you do something like this, players overall are going to lose trust in your brand. And PC players don't, they shouldn't be forced to be linked to PSN's rules or have to abide by PlayStation Network or even have to subscribe to it for a console they don't own. Why should they have to do that? That's completely ridiculous to me. And even that aside, for even if the game initially in February or whatever, if you look at the Steam page, even it says, oh, you'll have to link your PSN account. That wasn't a requirement up until this week. That wasn't a requirement. So from February to now, it hasn't been a requirement, and now it is. So, you know, I can understand the anger from people. And pulling the game, again, our argument, you know, with digital games, that in regions without PSN, the game can just be pulled just like that. It's gone. And then you have the Arrowhead CEO. Yeah, and the Arrowhead CEO catching all sorts of flack. He says he's talking with Sony, trying to rectify the situation, trying to get the game relisted in regions that don't have PSN, trying to convince them to not have the requirement, right, so that they can play the game. But now it's all fall on him. All, you know, he said in a tweet, sounded very dejected. Like, all I wanted to do was make great games, right? He just, all, you know, when you have that kind of passion, all you want to do, and then you get caught up because a corporate entity just comes down and says, you can't do this, or, you know, we're changing the agreement, or you should have implemented this in the beginning, and we don't like how you're handling this, so we're going to change it. But then it backfires on Sony. So now, if you're a PC player, why would you trust to purchase anything Sony first or second party put out on Steam? Why would you ever trust them? You shouldn't be beholden.
They could change the rules on you whenever they feel like, you know?
Exactly. There's enough DRM you have to worry about purchasing from Steam or Epic or whatever without having the added umbrella of a PlayStation Network on top of that. Nobody wants that shit. And Brian said it the best. This is how you get piracy, right? So people have no alternative now in 177 countries, and then people here are pissed off. They're just going to bootleg the game. And why wouldn't you? So yeah, that's what's happening with that. I feel bad for the Arrowhead CEO because he's catching all sorts of shit. The game is getting review bombed to hell. People are lashing out all over the place, which I don't agree with. The Helldivers 1 is getting review bombed. Like, their games are getting review bombed. So it's, you know, that's not, I don't agree with that. But, you know, you can voice your grievances. You can request a refund. I think absolutely. If you feel like, hey, I was promised one thing. I've been playing for 5 months, no problem. Now all of a sudden I need PSN. Fuck that. I want a refund. Okay. I mean, what can I say? That Sony pulled the rug out from everyone, I think, very unjustly. I think this looks bad for them in the long term. And you can say what you want. You can say, oh, Sony can do whatever they want. They warn people. Not really. Not really. That's about as effective as the warning in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when they were going to bulldoze the Earth. It's like, hey, Alpha Centauri had the bulldozing plans. You should have looked at them. Sure. It's like, okay, so a way down on the page on Steam, it said, hey, you're going to have to link your PSN account. You think anybody looked at that? The purchase button is way at the top.
Yeah, couple of comments here before we move on. And I got to ask some questions to some of the guys in the chat. Kishak goes, I find all of this hilarious. What's hilarious about 177 countries not having access to this game? Jay Shep goes, is it okay to link all other accounts, not just PSN? I don't believe there's any other accounts that you need to link with this game. I think,
I mean, in general, on Steam, you can link a bunch of different accounts to there.
You know,
you could already do that, all that.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know. But at the same time, it's like, why make this mandatory? To be honest, I think it's fine. Like, okay, yeah, if you have the ability to do it and you can earn all the trophies and stuff that you have, you know, for playing the game, well, why not do that? But I feel like when they start saying why, and then also the thing is like, they want it to be mandatory, but they don't give you any reasoning why. And then the other thing is
they claim that it's for security. Sony, the company has been hacked to hell. It says it's for security. Mm. Yeah.
Security of what? For security of what?
It's, you know, control. Like, it's control. That's what it is.
But again, the number one, it's like, it should still be optional. What, you know, like, unless they're looking to close down, you know, to separate the servers, because maybe that's the next thing. Maybe they have to do that, because obviously somehow they're in this. For some reason, they need to do this now.
Yeah. J-Ship says there was a warning before you bought the game that you had to have a PSN account. They just didn't enforce it. But now they're enforcing it, and that's what people are having a problem with.
But the thing about it is, it's like they had it in like places like Malaysia. Did they have it there?
Well, apparently,
you know, any of the other any of the other countries, it's like, wait, we don't have that here.
Somebody's being
a bunch of idiots about this, because number one, the chief reason why Helldivers is even doing the numbers it's fucking doing is because of the PC players. It's not because of the PlayStation. I can tell you fucking that.
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
No, just add on Manny's point about the wholesale thing. It's like, okay, it could have been that the warning was there to say that, okay, this thing does require this like linking of the PSN account. But then it still doesn't explain the question. If that was always the case, then why did Sony allow it to be sold in places where there was no PSN accounts? No one, I've not seen anyone argue why that is, because then it's a case of Sony let a product be sold in places where it knew that you couldn't have a PSN account, and hence problems arose. And then on top of that, it's all the idea that, okay, so in places where you can get you can't get a PSN account, and I've heard people say that, okay, you can just create one from a different country, but then that breaks, again, it's possible, it's doable, but that breaks Sony's terms of service, and that means that Sony is well within their grasp to ban your account. And you're back to a point where you borrow a game, you try to play it, you create an account from a different region, it's now banned, and you're locked out of your game.
Yeah, like, it's beyond, Brian, you're right. Yeah, it's because I see some people in the chat saying, oh, let's just create another account, what's the big deal? If you're in one of these countries that can't play the game, I think that's a pretty big deal. You know, if you had access to this game and you love it, pretty big deal. It's not just about, oh, create an account. You can't create a PSN account on some of these other countries. You know, go ahead, Brian.
I've even heard on the internet, so don't know how true this is, that people from Ukraine can't actually create a PSN account without an active PlayStation.
Yeah, that's a good look.
So hence, you know, it's like, why is it so hard to do something that's so simple? Again, another story I heard on the internet, so take it as you wish. Some guy out in China, because of some VPN problems, he tried to create a PSN account with a VPN. Account was blocked, and now he can't play the game. So these are people that are, again, they paid money, fair and square, they tried to play a game, Sony pulled the rug, and now they're being screwed over. And it's just really damning just how bad this is on all fronts. Like, the one thing that really gets me is, as I said at the start, like, Sony allowed a product to be sold in places where it knew that people could not play it. That's just disgusting. You know, that's I know this term gets thrown around quite a lot, but that's pure anti-consumer. That's literally just saying, hey, you buy this thing that you cannot use, and we know you cannot use, but we're still going to allow you to buy it. It's like, okay, like, why? It's just pure insanity. And again, as Chris said, I feel bad for Arrowhead Studios, because for the most part, they had no hand in this, by the sounds of it. By the sounds of it, there's a pure just Sony pulling strings and making stuff happen. And I did see the tweets of the CEO, and he mentioned that he was aware of this 6 months prior, but obviously things changed at like the last moment. So I can't really place all the blame on Sony. I have to place some of the blame on him. So why wasn't it communicated more effectively that, hey, this is the terms of sale, and hence this is what's going on? Like, you can't just change the terms of sale post-sale. Like, that makes no sense. Like, that's kind of like the whole point of why they are consumer rights groups, because stuff like this should not happen.
Yeah. So, now, Brian, got a question for you from J Shep. But before that, J Shep asked, do we know 100% this is on Sony and not Valve? Well, Sony's the one that put out the statement. You know, Sony's put out the statement. And then, Brian, you can answer both of these. So that's one. And then the other one is, Are you suggesting that Sony did this on purpose? If so, what would they get out of it?
Well, just to answer the whole Valve thing, I don't see why Valve would stop. I don't see why Valve would require you to have a PSN account to play. And I don't see why Valve would care if the game is being played in certain places or not being played in certain places. To me, Valve just gives the product out. And again, they are a distributor. As far as I know, Valve just distributes it out. And then what happens after that is down to publishers, developers, for various reasons. And again, even the CEO of Arrowhead, Cannon, said this was down from Sony, and he's talking to Sony as the days go on to try and resolve this problem.
And Sony was the one that actually released a statement. They said, we are doing this because of security. Sony Interactive Entertainment. They were the one. Look at the blog post on Steam. It says Sony Interactive Entertainment, you know?
Yeah, I can see what you're trying to say, but at no point do I see Valve involvement in this. So, this is pure just Sony. And what was the second part, Tony?
Oh, yeah. Are you suggesting that Sony did this on purpose? If so, what would they have to gain?
Sony did this on purpose. What? By the sound of it, as you guys just said, control. Like, they now get to control who does and does not get to play a game that they publish. And it could be that they... Again, I've heard, tinfoil hat theory here. Is Brett on? No, it's not on.
No.
Okay, I'll borrow his tinfoil hat. It could be that they are just trying to bump up the monthly active users for PSN. So a good way to do that is rope in a group of people that are actively using a service that you can get them to sign into your service to play. To me, that seemed like the obvious answer. The whole control thing... Again, I don't know how true that is, but again, I'm not surprised if that would be the case.
Well, I mean, I agree with Brian 100%. I think the security excuse is bogus. Because if you are worried about cheating or hacking the game on the PC side, you would put in efforts, and there's DRM that they could use on the Steam side for that. Right. And you can, and they could still ban people. I mean, the argumentation from the Helldivers community manager, which was poor at best, was that they didn't have the ability to ban people as effectively as if they linked to PSN. So I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You could ban people regardless, right? You're managing the game. You could see who, you could check who's cheating or boosting or whatever and ban them. So that doesn't make any sense. The Sony post was like just fluff, like, oh, protecting their players and what. It's all excuse. Don't hide behind the players. I think 100% they wanted to boost their subscriber count. And, you know, you get a win-win. You get to lock down the game and you get to force another community into, paying into PSN. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, J-Sep says that he meant that why send the game to countries and then pull it? What would Sony get out of that? Someone made a mistake.
Well, I guess that's what the community's saying. I mean,
yeah. Again, going back to what the CEO had said and the fact that this was available since launch, I don't think it was a mistake. Again, if it's a mistake, then no one has noticed since February the 18th? When was this game launched?
I'll look it up.
Well, okay. At least for 3 months. It means that no one anywhere noticed this for 3 months.
February 8th.
Okay, yep. So pretty much 3 months. So I don't see how you can make this big a mistake for 3 months and not address it as soon as possible, because it's a big mistake. It's not like a slight mistake, like, oh yeah, text was wrong or we accidentally shipped this or whatnot. Like, no, it's just sold and not sold. And the fact that they were able to pull it, they pulled it 2 days after they released the thing. So was it? It was May the 4th. They put out the statement and then May the 6th, it was pulled. You know, it's like, if they can pull it that fast, then why didn't they pull it in the first place?
And what's this? I'm hearing about the community manager apparently knowing about this for months and they just didn't say anything. You guys heard about that?
Yeah. The Arrowhead CEO came out and said that they knew this was coming from 6 months prior. Yeah. And the community manager made a statement that they knew this. They were like, we were just waiting for the hammer to fall on this. So they knew as well.
They should have given players a heads up, you know?
Now, I have to say, again, this is slightly in defense. Just because they knew about it for so long, it doesn't mean that they have to convey it in a sense of if the whole idea was behind an announcement. I can understand it from that point of view. But again, if the game was launched with this feature in mind and disabled at launch, then still a case of they knew that this day was coming at some point and, you know, nothing was mitigated. And that's what like irks me about it. So whose decision was it to not mitigate this in the first place? Was it Arrowhead or Sony? We have no idea.
Yeah, it's fucking some mess. But here's another question from Jay Shep. Does Sony tell Valve where the game can be played? I'm genuinely curious.
That's a still good being question. Played in the same,
It's still being played in the same place. I mean, it just has middleware in between now that can control it depending on what type it is. Like, for example, like Chris mentioned, it's DRM. It's extra DRM that's added, a layer of DRM added to the game.
It's, again, this is purely based on my experience with Apple Store, with the App Store. When you submit stuff to the App Store, you have the ability to set which regions it is available in. So I assume that Valve has something very similar where whoever is submitting whatever app game to Steam, they have the ability to set where it is set. Sorry, where it is sold.
Yeah, it makes sense. J-Shep says, I feel like there's a piece of this puzzle that's still missing.
I feel like the Valve piece that you're trying to search for, I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. They're just the providers. It's just a store. There's a store. Yeah, there's just a store. Yeah.
It's all Sony and Arrowhead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
I know what the piece is that's missing.
Oh,
what's that?
It's the piece is called transparency. Yeah. So Sony knew from the very beginning, as the publisher of this game, that the PSN was required. So the decision to not make it a requirement at launch, that doesn't make any kind of sense whatsoever. That should have been clear from the very beginning. This is, if you want to play this game, you need to create a PSN account. That should have been known from day one. And they should not have stopped that because, again, the intent was Sony is in this position where they are trying to basically, they put all this money into live services. They want to build up that audience on their console. So as a result of what happened with this, I'm pretty sure that a lot of the live service games are going to have some issues because you now have told people who support your console, support your brand, that, well, we're not going to be very clear about our instructions. And then, of course, when a situation like this happens and the PSN is required, in some of the places where there is no PSN, those customers are left out. They buy a product and then they can't access it anymore. That doesn't make any kind of sense. So it's a very bad look for Sony. And I will be very curious to see how this impacts them moving forward. Anytime they decide to make any more games that are live service, multiplayer type of experiences.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think one further, just real fast. You lose trust in a company real fast when this stuff happens. Oh, yeah. And I would say it doesn't even matter that a game's live service. I'll say look at Ghost of Tsushima when that launches, and let's see how that does now. Because people got burned with this, and that's not a live service single-player game. Well, let's see how that...
It does have a multiplayer component.
It does. But
can I just add something quickly? They actually put out a tweet saying that for the multiplayer, you will need the PSN account, but for the single-player, you will not need it. So the fact that they had to put out that statement, I think goes to show what some people are thinking regarding the whole situation.
Sounds like they're trying to bolster their numbers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So they can be like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it would be something as petty as saying, hey, we got blah, blah, blah amount of players on this game. But number one, it should never be mandatory. Never.
Yeah. Just to get to more specifics about this thing. So Alpha Chuck said, I'm not sure if I have ever seen such a requirement be retroactive after release. And then his main question is, do you feel this is justified? I don't know. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's justified. And then the other thing is that, you know, they don't give people and they don't see, like, if it wasn't a mandatory thing, they should, if it was an optional thing, they should at least have given somebody, you know, given people some sort of incentive to decide to put a PlayStation Network, you know, account on it. Right. So you have the option to do it. And then you get a fun little incentive. Hey, look, I got a fucking hat that says, you know, some stupid shit. I don't know. Maybe a cool armor, whatever. Just to be able, like, okay, we get it. You don't want to go with this thing. That's fine. But if you do, get some cool.
This, I mean, they should have done similar. And this, I mean, this game gets lambasted a lot. But Cyberpunk 2077, they do the optional thing. It's like, oh, you can either sign in with this account or you can just continue and play the game. At least for this game, since, you know, it came out as not being a quote unquote feature for the game at launch. And the interesting thing is, this is a Sony first party game, right? It's the first big Sony first party game of the generation, and it popped off. Not because of the PlayStation, it popped off because of PC. So they were getting all of this attraction from the PC community, a community that's, for Sony, it's kind of, even though they've released things here and there for PC, this is sort of like uncharted territory. No pun intended. Sorry. And now they're realizing, oh, so these guys won't take it as easily as these PlayStation dudes do. So. They're quickly finding out that, you know, this is not it.
I just want to add again that this feature, like the whole linking of the accounts, was meant to be mandatory at launch, but there was some sort of technical issue that meant that the game could not be played at launch, hence it was disabled. And that came from the CEO of Arrowhead himself.
Yeah.
So it's technically been there since day one, but it was just turned off because people couldn't play the game.
Yeah. And now it's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes things worse, because then it's like you're forcing people to sign to something that doesn't work and means that you can't play the game. So it's like, you know, it's just, everything just makes it sound worse.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, I agree. And with that point that you made, Brian, then I would say yes. Then they should have never turned it on then in the first. If that's the case, don't bother turning it on now. We're almost 90 days since this game has been out. So it doesn't make any kind of sense.
Yeah, a couple comments here from the chat. Kishak, I'll get to your specific question next. He goes, apparently the CEO already stated that the majority of players already linked their PSN account. And then Jay Shep says, I did see that the player count didn't move much. I think that's an important piece. What do you guys say about that?
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, the interesting thing is you can attribute it to multiple factors, but I mean, Helldivers 2 has been in a steady decline since its peak. Its peak was... Because I was looking at the numbers, because I was thinking I wanted to verify this because I wasn't too sure either. The peak was in the 21st of February. Remember when the game released, it wasn't even that big. It just blew up all of a sudden, like a little bit after it came out. So on the 21st, it had a peak of 457,000 players. These are Steam numbers, by the way. And then it's been in a decline, 300,000 in March, 370,000 in March. And then now, as of the 6th of May, it's UTC time, so it's kind of funky, but it says 77,000, 110,000 on Sunday. So the last 24 hours is 110,000, which isn't, you know, it's been on a steady decline. So it's interesting to see if it's just a decline that it's going on, the natural decline, or these numbers are going to attribute to, you know, even increasing what the decline is right now. Or the rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there's one other factor. Yeah. Remember, there's still a 30-day window to link your account. So it's not necessarily that the players have linked their account yet. They could be writing till the end.
Which
I think is June 5th. I think that's the deadline, June 4th or June 5th.
So maybe around that time is when we potentially could see a big, like, drop off in players, You know, so because I was thinking about this, too, because I saw a lot of people talking about this. I was like, I don't think you're going to see like a sharp decline happen in 2 days. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, around that time, like when a deadline hits, you could just see the shit like, you know, hit like a hockey stick and, you know, upside down, you know. Rich, what's up?
I was going to add up. Yeah, I agree with everything that was said. I was going to say I would also be curious to see when they decide to add more content to the game, or if there is an expansion, I would like to see what are the people, you know, what the audience is going to look like, if there are people that are actually going to pick this up again for that content, or if it's going to continue to still decline. Because obviously, as you guys said, this game has been out for a while now. Obviously, it's been a very dry year for gaming. We can all say that. Okay. So, but when stuff starts coming out, I do want to see if people are going to want to keep coming back to play this.
Yeah, I want to get to this specific question from Kishak, because I'm trying to understand where he's coming from. And Kishak, you could enlighten me here. Since Helldivers 2 is now delisted in countries without PSN support, did the people who stood on the principle that they won't make a PSN account and lie about where they live expected Sony to double down and shut it all? Now there's collateral damage in the sense that nobody in those regions can enjoy the game anymore by forcing Sony to act on a policy they have never enforced before. It feels like the PC guys are the class snitches, and now the entire class gets punished. I don't really understand where you're coming from with that, unless anybody wants to take a crack at that, because I don't really understand.
Well, is he saying that they pulled it in the other regions because PC players were complaining about linking the PSN accounts? Is that what he's saying?
I'm not sure.
But I don't know. This is Sony's decision. PC players feel that this is wrong, right? They're being forced to link this account when they haven't had to for months. This hasn't been a requirement. All of a sudden it is, they don't want to do it. So I don't think it's any like snitching or anything like that. Like, that would imply that there was malice on PC gamers' part to throw over the other regions. There's no such thing. They feel wronged that they don't want the extra DRM, the overhead of PSN, to play the game. And they haven't had to deal with that for as the month of like the last, you know, 12 weeks they've been playing it. So yeah, I don't think that's accurate at all.
Yeah,
and Sony is the one who makes that decision at the end of the day.
Yeah. Kishak says, it's the fact that people could make foreign accounts since PS3 and Sony never bothered to enforce it. So are you saying that people in other countries should make PSN account, American PSN accounts? Is that what you're getting at here? Again, I'm trying to understand your question. I'm confused. So apologies about that. Jay Shep goes, so throw $40 out the window over making a PSN account. If you're in one of these countries that doesn't have access to these games, you pay $40 and then in 30 days, you're not going to be able to play the game anymore, you know? Again, Kishak, if you can enlighten us, that'd be great, because we're kind of not understanding where you're coming from. But here's another one from him, from Kishak. How do you guys think an outsider or normie is looking into the situation and learning why people are freaking out would empathize with gamers, or would they find it all sad? Basically saying, do you think a normie would like see the situation and empathize with the PC players, or think they're just being like silly?
I would think a normie would go with the PC player.
That's what, like, I would
think. They would be like, why the fuck do I need to make an extra account? I already have an account on this Steam shit already.
Yeah.
Let's be real. It depends on what headline they're reading.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think normies are even looking at this shit, to be honest. Yeah, no, I think you had it right. Depends on the headline, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, it's like PC players lose their access to play their favorite video game. Okay, then they'll be in the back. It's like PC players complaining because they don't want security measures for video games or something like that. And then they'll be like, oh, well, why don't they want it to be secure?
Yeah.
That's pretty much how discourse is these days. So,
I mean, let's read some of these headlines. Helldivers 2 pulled from 177 countries due to PSN linking requirement. Sony demands PSN accounts for Helldivers PC players, and it's not going well. Ouch, right in the review score. Arrowhead CEO reacts to Helldivers 2 review bombing. Apologizes for PSN mandate. Helldivers 2 gets pulled from Steam in 170 countries. Helldivers 2 delisted 177 countries as Steam issues refunds. So yeah, you know, I don't know what a normie would make of those headlines. I guess it would be like, oh, that's bad. People in other countries can't play this game. I think that's how they would view it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the headlines, obviously. Bliss says PC players are being little bitches. If you're in one of these countries, you can't play these games. I don't know, man. I think you have a right to complain there, you know?
All I'm going to say is that when Sony takes away your game, I'm sure you're going to be very upset. And I know you're thinking that, oh yeah, they won't do that. It's like, but trust me, they will do it. And when it happens, it's going to be really annoying. And I'm going to be there just sitting in the corner just smiling. No, I'm going to put it in the, what's the chat called?
Oh, the accountability chat?
Accountability chat. I'm going to put it inside there so that it's there for all history to see, even if I die. Yeah. Because it's going to happen. Because this is what Sony does. This is, again, I actually had this thought like half an hour ago. We've now entered the arrogant Sony phase. And the next 3 years are just going to be the most annoying BS stuff from Sony that you can think of. And it's going to annoy so many people. And yeah, it's not going to be fun for anyone.
I mean, we've been in this phase for a while now, if we're being honest.
Yeah. No, that's true. We have been in that era. Brett's been complaining about this whole generation, you know? Arrogant Sony, they're back. But this time they're getting away with it because people are still buying PlayStations, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, like it's a weird one. Like, I don't think any other company has ever mandated that you log into their account. Xbox, you don't have any. It automatically connects to if you have a Xbox account. You know, you don't need. There's no mandatory shit that needs to happen in order to play Hi-Fi Rush or play Sea of Thieves. You don't need to have an Xbox account.
Yeah. All right, what's this other question Kishek has for us? Will all of this have any effect on Sony's future PC ports after seeing how insane the PC audience can become? I would love to see what type of reactions people would have in an alternate timeline where Sony just said, fuck it, and stops all PC ports altogether, because that would be a juicy drama day on Twitter. but yeah, I guess he wants to know, how is this going to affect? Will Sony rethink things because they see the reaction of the game of the PC gaming community?
No, I don't think so.
I suspect they won't.
Yeah,
I think unless
it drastically affects their pocket.
Yeah, right? then they'll change
it's,
things.
Unless it seriously starts costing them money, that's when they start to, they'll say, oh, well, maybe we need to rethink our strategy or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem to usually, Sony doesn't seem to usually bend to public opinion when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
a PlayStation Vita using proprietary memory cards. Remember that one? Yeah.
Yeah. Blitz says you actually do need an Xbox account to play Sea of Thieves, even on PlayStation.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, you do actually. Yeah, you do.
All right.
But they haven't delisted it from other countries. Not to my knowledge. J-Shep goes, there's tons of accounts that you have to make to play some Steam games. Yeah. No, you know, yeah, you do. Yeah, like was it EA in some instances you need to do it, you know? Go ahead.
So just because that other companies have justified the bad practice in the past, it's okay for others to justify the bad practice in the present.
Yeah. By the way, I knew this was going to happen. I knew somebody was going to bring up Microsoft, because it's like, what about? It's like, let's stop with the whataboutisms, guys. It's bad regardless. It's not good when one company does it and it's bad when another. It's bad in general, you know?
Yeah. Again, like, keep note that you are talking to the group of people that hated EA for making their EA Origin app thing, and they still do, you know. So they're going to hate it regardless. Because again, the whole point of it's kind of funny because it's kind of like Netflix, you know. The whole, like, Steam and Netflix are very similar in the way that they operate in the
in the zeitgeist. The whole point is that this service existed to prevent piracy because it was simple, it was easy. It was one place you go to, you get everything, life's easy. And then all these companies started pulling away their own stuff into their own services and just made everything hell. And that's where we're at. You know, like the same thing on PC. You have all these launches and it's just awful. This is why I was so happy when Microsoft bought Bethesda. It means no more Bethesda launcher nonsense. Brilliant. And now we're seeing it with like all these streaming services. You know, you have HB... What, no. What's it called again? Is it just Max now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, Max. Yeah, Max.
Yeah. You have Max. You have Amazon. You have Apple. You have all the... It's so segmented that it's just a nightmare. So I honestly don't know what they're trying to justify. They're trying to justify being inconvenient to the user. Again, that's how you get piracy, because people just don't want to deal with that. Like even Gabe Newell said, like the only way to beat piracy is to make things easier to do than piracy. And at this point in time, if you have to jump through all these hoops, piracy is probably easier. And in some cases, it might be the only option.
Yeah. Blitz goes, hang on, I brought up Xbox because a statement was made that was incorrect, so I just corrected it. No, what about isms? No, I was referring because I saw the Sea of Thieves comment earlier on, and I wanted to comment on it. It's like, no, what about isms here, guys? That's because earlier during the podcast, somebody, I think it was Jay Shep, says, hey, Sea of Thieves allows, you know, has the requirements. So I'm like, I was like, oh, because I knew coming into this podcast, I knew somebody would bring up Xbox. I knew that was going to happen. So I was ready for that, you know?
I brought up Xbox.
Yeah. Manny, you did, you know? But this way, this
way, I caused it.
Yeah, but again, you know, if we fuck up, you got to correct us. That's why we're here for. Unlike some of these other fucking podcasters, they'll double down and triple down on their fucking mistakes and shit. Not on Throwdown, baby. You know.
I think even Capcom does it. I think Street Fighter VI was the last game I had to do this bullshit for, I think.
Nobody, by the way, nobody likes this stuff. Like, because I've heard some people say, oh, you have to link your accounts on, you know, you have to link, you know, when you're on Steam, you have to link accounts, you have to link a game to other accounts. Nobody complains. Yes, they do. They always complain. It's just, this is a high profile game that's hot. So it's obviously getting a ton of fucking, you know, attention, but nobody likes this shit. You know, there's always complaints. Again, like Brian said, like an EA, you know, go ahead, Carlos.
And it's not even like a really straightforward benefit to do it. Like, yeah, security reasons, sure, but it's not even tangible for a lot of people. If you say, okay, we're gonna make this PlayStation for the trophies and stuff like that, then I think a lot of more people would be cool with it. I mean, if you do it day one, if you do, hey, we're releasing God of War, Ragnarok, or whatever the next game comes out, and it's gonna be, you have to sign into PlayStation, but you get the trophies. You get the trophies. I think a lot of people be more, you know, more acceptable of that kind of stuff, or, you know, you just need it just to need it because trust us, bro, security reasons.
And again, that's kind of rich coming from Sony, you know, the security thing.
And you're telling it to people who have been playing your game for months.
Yeah. The whole thing is just fucked up, man. You know, it really is. Oh, bunch of comments here. Not sure if I missed it, but are those that now can't play their game because of no PSN in their area getting refunds? I fucking hope so. I know Steam is issuing refunds, like, because you know how Steam is like the only issue refunds for like first hours. Like, they're just issuing refunds. So good guy Steam there. Jason goes, I know it's not a real word, but on Twitter, all I see are excuses why making accounts of other companies are okay. Those guys are fucking idiots. They're fucking idiots. Mm-hmm. You can't excuse bad behavior on one end and then, you know, you can't excuse bad behavior on one end and then complain about it on one end. No, you got to be consistent. Either you like it all or you hate it. You got to be consistent. So that's but that's, you know, typical fanboy two-faced shit where it's like, oh, if the company I like does it, it's okay. But if the company I hate does it, it's bad. It's like, it's the same act. You should not like it regardless, you know? But again, that's what you get on Twitter with these fucking fanboys, man. They don't think, you know? Flint's, ooh, that's a name I haven't seen in a while. What's going on, brother? He goes, yep, I hate it too. I'm playing Bioshock Infinite and now 2K Launcher pops up asking me to link my Steam account. So goddamn annoying. Yeah, people don't like that shit, you know? Okay, anyway, another question. Let's move on here. I think that's all the Helldivers 2 stuff, unless you guys want to, you know, throw in anything else in the chat.
I actually do have something throw out there, and this is a slightly sad idea, but I think it's possible. So I think the fallout from Arrowhead will be one of two ways. Either Arrowhead is going to stop doing business with Sony post this game, or if there's contractual obligations, then I expect a bunch of high-profile people will split and make their own studio to avoid having to deal with Sony again. And there's also the possibility that I think at this point in time, it has received over 200,000 negative votes in the last 2 days. If that causes any financial problems to Arrowhead Studios, then it could be that they lay off people to deal with it. Again, all three is possible, and all three could happen, different stages. I don't know, but I think that one of these three will happen in the next year.
Look for it, people. Drunken Guardian, what's going on, brother? He goes, they are now giving people refunds regardless of how long they played. Yeah, Steam's been doing that. Good guy Steam, you know? All right, no more Helldivers 2 questions, so we'll get into some other stuff. But this one's still really, you know, about Sony. Logic wins. I'd like to hear the panel's opinion on Sony expressing interest in acquiring Paramount for $26 billion, considering that these funds could have been used to fund several first or second party gaming projects. Does this imply that Sony no longer views gaming as a priority? If you had full control of how that $26 billion was invested, how would you invest it? Bear in mind that Sony's biggest gaming-related acquisition this generation has been Bungie for $3.6 billion. Somebody with more financial know-how can chime in on this, but let me finish. The way it generally goes, like, okay, we have this a budget for gaming, there's a budget for whatever other projects, right? So whatever other projects, okay, so if they have this amount of money allocated for, let's just say, movies or whatever, they're not taking that from the gaming division. This is how much has been allocated to this segment of Sony. So it's not, you're not pulling it from another, you know?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Where essentially, it's their film division that got it, and you know that acquired the rights, and not the PlayStation division.
Yeah.
The way their companies are sort of structured is like they're almost like separate entities. So, you know, obviously, you know, that's why you'll never see you wonder like, hey, wait, why did this film studio get the rights to a Sony property? It's because PlayStation has the ability to sort of push around their different franchises.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just always be working with Sony, in the films. But, you know, the reason why they did that is because they wanted all of Paramount's classic catalog.
Yeah.
In general. You know, you can make Paramount a lot of money by licensing that stuff. So,
well, it's not licensing. Paramount's in the red. They are, I think, $30 or $40 billion in the red. And they're in a desperate situation to shore up their stuff. As a matter of fact, in their last financial call, their CEO was fired before the call. The call lasted less than 6 minutes. That's how bad
they did. Damn.
So they're in a rough spot. And so there's multiple studios vying for purchasing. I think Skydance is one of them. Sony entered it too. I don't know if anyone else, Universal may be interested, but initially Star Trek was on the table, but I think all of Paramount is not on the table. They're in some dire straits.
Go ahead, Rich. It'd be interesting if Skydance got it, right?
Rich, what's up?
I want to ask a question. Obviously, I like to stay on gaming, but I have to ask this question. Maybe you guys know the answer, or maybe the fans know. What the hell would be the reason to buy Paramount? What is the franchise or franchises that they think they're going to make even more money from if they purchase them? The only thing I could see, obviously, the Yellowstone, they have all those spinoff shows. So, but I don't really see why that would be the all the thing that they want to buy. So, do you guys have any answers?
Again, in the past, when it was actually lucrative, Star Trek would have been it, you know?
Yeah. But it wasn't only Star Trek. They have lots of different franchises and different films. Their classic, the film catalog. They have Ninja Turtles, Paramount. Yeah. They have a lot of things. Nickelodeon. There is a lot of things underneath the Paramount umbrella, just besides just Yellowstone and a couple of other things that, you know, Transformers and all that other stuff. So if you say Top Gun. Yeah, they do the Mission Impossible. They do the Mission Impossible films, you know. Indiana Jones was put out by them, so you know it's actually a very good get for them to at least get them for all of that sort of stuff
on the cheap. I
mean, to be honest, Paramount, they were stupid for doing the streaming. You know, they're bleeding money from that. That's what put them in the red.
Jesus.
Also, some of the articles that I've been checking out, it shows that it says Sony and Apollo, which is another company, apparently are working on potentially taking over or purchasing Paramount. So it's not just a Sony thing.
Skydance is looking to purchase them. So there's several people. There's several buyers.
But Sony and maybe I'm reading it wrong. It says Sony and Apollo like a partner. It sounds like a partnership, but I don't know if it's. Oh, maybe it's just separate. Okay, I read it wrong.
Initially, Skydance was on the buyer, and then Sony put in interest. I think they put in a higher bid.
Yeah, Flint, it's on sale. The deal hasn't gone through yet. And real quick, I want to read something Blitz says, just for context here. Sony had $10 billion to spend on another entertainment acquisition, but that fell through, and that went towards Paramount. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. So they wanted to get some. They may have wanted to get MGM because remember Amazon bought them.
Yeah, that's right. I think we answered the question correctly. It's like they didn't take away from the gaming division. The gaming division had its budget, and the movie whatever division entertainment, let's just call it that, had its budget. You know, so don't you know so. Going, oh, well, would you have rather them? That doesn't make any sense because they already had their money for the gaming division. You know?
They would never take any money from the
gaming
division
to do something else, to fund something else.
I feel like most of the money, and I'm not too familiar with a lot of acquisitions, but I would guess that a huge sum of the money that is used to purchase Paramount will be via loan.
Yeah.
I don't know if money has the. I don't think Sony's not Microsoft. They don't have those cash reserves or Apple. They have those just cash reserves to buy these big size companies, just, you know, straight cash, homie. Like they're probably, you know,
selling shit. Disney took out loans. They took out a $25 billion loan from Citicorp to purchase 20th Century.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a slight follow-up question on this. If Sony does go out and buy Paramount, then how many big movie studios are left at this point? Since it's
shrinking.
Like only like 5 years ago. Well, I say 5 years ago, there was like a bunch of them. Like Fox is gone, Marvel's going. Well, gone, sorry. And then Paramount goes. It's like what? There'll be like four, five left.
So it'll be Disney. It'll be Sony. It'll be Warner Brothers.
It'll be Universal.
It'll be, I guess, I don't know what to make of Amazon and Apple at this point, because they're vying to try to be.
Well, Amazon does have MGM.
So. That's true.
Mm. And Apple has a lot of money.
Hey, yeah.
And Apple just has crazy amounts of money and they can just buy in. I don't think that somebody like Apple would care. You know, since they can pretty much, they don't need to wait on, you know, need to wade through other people's franchises. I think they're fine with whatever they have, and they could just fund whatever they want. So
imagine they bought Paramount.
That'd be interesting. because Apple does have stake in Disney. They have that was part of that deal. When they sold Pixar,
they have stake in Disney, and they're one of the few people that does not need a loan. to make this purchase. Yes. So that would be interesting.
All they need is release the new iPhone. And then
we'll pay for the studio and iPhones.
You know, Logic Wins, you know, who asked the question, goes, but that creates another question. Why not allocate more to the gaming budget? Well, I don't understand the premise of the question. Are you saying that the gaming division needs more of a budget? Is that what you're trying to get at? Because I'm like, I would think Sony knows how much budget it needs for
and also gaming.
Go ahead, Chris.
You can't just pull money at the top when they do the budgets for each segment of Sony Global. They can't just go, well, we're going to give games and network services an extra $30 billion just in case something comes up, right? That's not how anything works. This part of your fiduciary responsibility is you have to allocate money where you think it's going to be spent wisely in order to get the best return on investment. You can't just dump money on the table in case something comes up, right? Like, oh, you might want to purchase a couple studios this year. No, nobody thinks like that. They have to have those plans laid out well down the road when they make these budgets. So there's no wiggle room, especially in the billions of dollars, to just all of a sudden shift gears and move money around to make purchases. It's either planned out well in advance or it doesn't happen. So what you're dealing with.
I just want to make a comment to piggyback off of what Chris said. They don't need more money. They need someone to better handle their finances, a financial advisor, if you will. And no, Bungie should not be somebody that they talk to about any of these decisions. So that's just my personal opinion.
All right. And this is not financial advice, by the way.
Yeah, it's not. You know? It's not a financial podcast, you know. although you could ask the financial questions or the AMA specials. You know? Yeah. You're going to have one for episode 500, people.
Is you?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wanted to mention that I think if this does happen, I think most of the, and Chris kind of talked me into it. I think most of the money that's going to go towards this acquisition is going to be a loan.
Yeah.
I don't think they have cash in hand. That's just, you know, they have that treasure chest, the Sony treasure chest, to just buy these companies. I think most of the money that's allocated towards the gaming division is just there. I don't think any profits or extra profits they have and were going to be allocated to that anyways, even if they did have a boatload of money that's, you know, in a treasure chest somewhere. And what they're doing is they're looking at this as an opportunity to expand and I guess diversify, because most of the profits that come from Sony, I mean, we go over with the charts with Chris, mostly it's the gaming division.
Yeah.
So maybe they feel arrogant. Brian mentioned the arrogant Sony era. Maybe they feel arrogant thinking, oh, you know, we're good with Sony. We're good with PlayStation. We're making money with that. So, you know, maybe they feel like, oh, we need to diversify up with, you know, more studios to make more revenue from movies.
Blitz says Sony needs to buy a time machine so they can get these AAA games made. They need the hyperbolic time chamber from Dragon Ball Z. You know? That's what they need. Get that shit done real quick, you know? All right, moving on here. Speaking about Dumeke, get to his two questions. Last two questions of the night, people. Unless you guys have got any more in the chat. All right, first one here. What's the oldest game or games in your backlog that you keep telling yourself that you're going to play one day, but refuse to admit to yourself that it's probably never going to happen? Fun question. Go ahead, Manny. You look like you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I don't really think too much in terms of backlog. It's just sort of like whatever I feel like playing at the moment.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Maybe at some point it used to sort of bug me. Oh man, I got a couple of things that I wanted to get to. I'll get to them. I'm not killing myself on it, you know?
Yeah. My answer is the entirety of my Steam backlog. I'm probably not going to play them. And yeah, just like,
yo man, you just bought a bunch of games just to say you had
them. Pretty much, you know, just so I could look at them, you know? But yeah, like, you know, this is something I, you know, again, talked about in the podcast. I gave up the backlog thing almost 10 years ago. I'm like, just don't worry about it. And it's, you know, I know I'm a special case because I got a prioritize whatever games I'm reviewing versus what I want to play. I think the first time I played a game for my own like pleasure that wasn't a review game at all was during the pandemic for obvious reasons. You know, I finally played Final Fantasy VI, you know, which I've been meaning to for years. Game is fantastic, by the way. But generally speaking, I just play whatever I got to review, you know. And in general, I'm not as interested in gaming as I used to be. Again, you've heard me rant about this generation for this entire generation for 4 years. So a lot of games are not interesting me. So I'm just playing even less, which is ironic because now I'm in a position where I don't have to play games I don't want to anymore. Before I had to, I play a lot of shitty fucking indie games and fucking racing games because, you know, freelancer, got to pay the bills. Now I'm in a position where I could just play what I specifically want to play and there's not anything for me to play. Isn't that ironic? You know, isn't that ironic? I think I've only played like 3 games this year, and one of them was absolute dog shit, you know, Suicide Squad, you know. But I am enjoying Stellar Blade, which I also had to review. But I'll probably take another gaming break because, again, I'm more interested in other things now. But backlog, that's something I've stopped worrying about years ago. I'm not even worried about backlog. If something fan, you know, if I feel the fan, you know, like a need to play some, sure, but I'm not sweating it, man. Because it becomes, man, you know what it is? It becomes a job, you know? It becomes a job trying to clear your backlog, you know?
Yeah, and far be it for the thing that you want to have, you know, essentially you're taking off from your job, and then all of a sudden you're, oh my God, I got to get through this big old list. And again, even Riku's list. Lessened up on all of that mess.
Oh, too, yeah. You know? Yeah. He's lessened up on that very much. Yeah.
He, you know, he plays what he wants and he's doing the other things that he, you know, he wants to, because, you know, as you get older, you know, I don't know how old a lot of you guys are out there, but as you get older, you start to realize that there's not all the time in the world, unlike the Louis Armstrong song from James Bond.
Yeah, you're right. Kish, that goes, is everyone on this podcast a digital hoarder? I don't know about everybody, but some of us have tendencies.
I don't have a digital hoard. I have maybe a little bit of a physical hoard.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things in there I haven't played. Like Shenmue 2, I haven't played. I have it, but I haven't played it.
Okay, yeah, Shenmue 2 is great. Right. I played that back in the day, though. Back in the day when you used to burn discs, you know?
Excuse me, not Shenmue 2. 3. Two, sorry, Shenmue 3.
There you go, yeah. I reviewed that game. You played Shenmue 2. You played Shenmue 2. We talked about it back in the day.
Never.
Man. Never 2?
Never played Shenmue 2.
Really?
No.
I think I was just telling you about it.
Because I didn't own an Xbox.
Yeah, I didn't play it on Xbox, though.
Or you played that on Dreamcast, baby,
but, you know, it wasn't, you know, yeah.
Yeah, you played, yeah, played a version that came from, like, England, right?
Yeah, yeah, I played that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a burnt, yeah, but I played it on Dreamcast. That's where I learned about Kowloon City, you know? And it's funny till this day, because I haven't seen The Raid. I still need to watch The Raid. But every time somebody brings up The Raid, I'm like, oh, it's like Kowloon City from Shenmue 2. You're going into a building, going up the floors, beating the shit out of people. I'm like, that's Shenmue 2, you know? But yeah, so yeah, no backlog for me. That's not something, like Manny said, time is limited when you're old, you know? Time is limited when you're old.
No, I think it's limited when you're old. And it's also, you just have the realization of how much of your time you're blowing on distraction, right? You think about it, like how much of your time is spent, you know, trying to get away from experiencing a day at its actual length, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot longer. A day is a lot longer if you're not watching something or, you know, watching something, playing something, you know.
Yeah. I'm not really worried about that. That aspect, that part of it.
Yeah. I would say, being a little bit more respectful of your time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really worried about that part of it. It's like, oh, I'm wasting my time, because I don't believe games are a waste of time. I think it's a good use of your time.
I'm not saying it's a waste of time. I'm saying, in other words, there are things that you could be doing that literally could be you're working on projects,
yeah,
or maybe you want to get away from this, you know, this
screens,
box
that
you consistently sit in front of all the time. You know,
yeah, for
going
sure
on a trip, a couple other things, not exactly a waste of time, because obviously everybody has a choice of how they spend their time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just wanted to make that clear, because obviously we don't want to say gaming is a waste of time. That'd be very hypocritical of us hosting a video game podcast.
That would be hypocritical. Yeah. No, you know, I mean, gaming is what one part of how you enjoy things. So yeah. But I don't even think of it as a backlog. I just think like, all right, it's there.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's not like something I need to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got away from that shit, man. Carlos, what's your answer to this?
I think Red Dead 2. Uh-oh. Is like the because I'm like,
shouldn't have gone on that vacation, like, you know?
Yeah, I'm kinda like you, Tony. Like most of my Steam backlog is a lost cause.
Yeah.
But Red Dead 2 is like the most recent game where I feel like I still tell myself I'll get to that. But yeah, Red Dead 2, that, what is that, 2018?
Yeah.
So it's a game from 6 years ago, essentially. So that's as far back as, you know, I'm still holding back to the backlog of hope.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's interesting on Red Dead for me. I kind of got like anxiety from how big that game was.
It's a big game.
I get it. Because
like, in other words, it was just like, you start off the game and then you're like, and it's like, it gets, you know, it's like bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to invest all of this in this. This is starting to feel like work, you know?
Yeah.
When people tell me, hey, we need you to go over here. All right, go over there, pick up the thing.
Yeah, and it's always the initial first couple of playthroughs where they feel that, because, you know, after like the fifth playthrough, you'll be like, you'll be hooked. And you're like, you won't stop playing the game. But it's that initial, it's like, man, I'm going to start playing all these menus and this huge world. I need to do all these things. Time consuming. So, yeah, I get it. I feel some of that, too.
Yeah.
But then again, this also comes from a place of like, I'm not like super into open world games. So like the bigger the open world games, the more I'm like, ugh. Now I can't just skip to the other side of the world. Can I just not have to walk it or take it a horse or something? Fast travel.
All right. Brian, what about you?
Simple. It is Bioshock 1 and 2. I do think they are the oldest games I've just not played, and everyone says I should, and I will. But that is why I have a Steam Deck going through the backlog, so I'm grateful for that.
Nice. Those games are probably pretty cool on Steam Deck too, you know? But you say you're not going to get to them? Because the question is, games that you know you're not going to get to, despite you wanting to play them.
Well, the fact that they are still there tells you everything you need to know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's just a stretch. Like, even this year, there's still tons of games I've still not even touched yet. Pacific Drive. I will get around to that before. I need to tell you about Space Marines 2 after the show.
Okay, fair enough. Logic Wins.
Yeah, I recommend that.
Yeah. Logic Wins says for him, it's Breath of the Wild. Yeah, games. You don't need to play that. Chris, what about you? you know, I got to get my dig in there, you know? Chris, what about you? What's a game? Yeah.
One of the oldest games I wanted to play the longest time I never got around to was Torchlight 1 and 2. And,
oh, shit.
I mean, I think I started Torchlight 2 back on 360. I don't remember. But I have the first Torchlight on Steam. I know that. There was another RPG, an old-school RPG that reminded me of Krondor that I had on Steam called Legend of Grimrock. That's one of the oldest games I have.
Oh, wow, bringing it back. I have
never
back.
Touched that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't see myself find that. I don't even think that shit will install on Steam Deck. It's so old.
Oh, man.
Yo, Chris, Torchlight 2 is good.
It's good. I know I started it, but I think I started it way back on 360, so I'd have to start over again.
I haven't played it in a long time, and I never got to finish it, but I just remember really liking it. I was like, oh, this is really good. I played with some friends too. And then like, I was like, a year or two ago, I was like, oh shit, there's a Torchlight 3?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm not even touching it. It's like, no beer till you finish your tequila. I
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Rich, what about you? What's a backlog game you know that despite you wanting to play, that you're probably never going to play?
All right. Well, this is going to be a controversial answer.
Uh-oh.
And I think everyone on the throwdown may look at me differently after I answer this. So brace yourself. Let me start by giving a shout out to Gary Swaby and our very good friend, Mr. Kennedy, because they have been telling me I should play this game ever since it came out a long time ago when I never got a chance to play it. I'm talking about Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Now, I did play the demo, but I never got a chance to play the game. I am aware that it is compatible on PlayStation 5, but it's a game that I'm probably not going to go back to play because I've been saying I was going to play this game for about 5 years now. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen now. So
there you go. That's hilarious.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. We don't.
Yeah, you don't need to. Yeah, Rich, you're good. Don't worry about Metal Gear Solid 5. All right.
Rich,
go ahead. Carlos,
real quick, Rich, that Metal Gear, don't feel bad. Metal Gear 5, I started it and I played it and I semi-rage quit that game.
Oh,
shit. Oh, really?
Yeah, when they started making me do base building and defending my base stuff, I was like, that's enough.
Yeah. All right. And the last question. Oh, hold on. Jay Shep goes, I thought he was going to say Foam Stars.
Since that was brought up, no chance in hell. And let me give you another honorable mention. No offense to Nintendo. You guys already know I do not play Switch, so I will never play any of these Zelda games. At least for now. I mean, but it looks like that's not going to happen at all. But we'll see.
Okay.
And when that Switch Pro comes out, yo, oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. And the last question of the night, also from Dumeke. What do you think has been the dumbest controversy in gaming the last 10 to 15 years? Feel free to go back further if you want, if you have a great example. So yeah, gaming controversies, stupid ones, the dumbest ones. And obviously this is related to the Helldivers controversy. Because there's always a controversy. I got one. Bros before hoes. That was a very stupid one. Remember that one?
Oh, no. Why would you even say that?
Yeah.
I'm quitting Twitter.
Yeah, so that's mine. Bros before hoes. Miss Adam Sessler getting his panties in a bunch over a fucking trophy. You know,
over a trophy name that was addressed.
Yeah, stupid. I'm gonna go down the line here, Rich. What's the dumbest gaming controversy of the last 15 years?
Well, I think Bros Before Hoes is that's 100% up there. My answer is going to be a little controversial.
Are they always controversial?
This is going to be controversial.
Yeah.
So I will be prepared for any comments that are received. I'm going to say a general controversy. Well, I don't know if it's a controversy. The rise of fanboys, okay, on all sides. Because, you know, obviously social media, when Twitter came about and all this other stuff, I started to see a lot of people commenting and showing, obviously, they are a huge fan of whether it's PlayStation or Xbox or PC. And I just laugh at some of the stuff that I see. I would say, and I mentioned this because this is something that I mentioned before we started recording. The most recent thing that I thought was hilarious was the response to the Xbox fans had when they thought every Xbox game is coming to PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that was very... I just thought that was very entertaining. They had no information from Microsoft. They only what they've heard from the inside sources. I thought that was hilarious because it's like, I mean, if you're a fan of the company, you want the company to make money, right? So the company, you know, it is what it is. But I just, some of the reactions, like they treat like this, they have such a deep relationship to these consoles. I just, get a life, do some other stuff. I mean, that's what they should be doing. But I just laugh. But in general, yes, the fanboy stuff, I think, is absolutely silly, ridiculous. But it was very entertaining just to see how people react to things that happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, by the way, the guys in the chat are dropping some gems right now, man.
What's that?
Kishak Puddlegate. Remember that shit?
That was going to be my answer.
Yeah, Puddlegate. Carl, you can expand on that, Puddlegate.
Yeah, go jump on it.
I mean, it started, for those that don't know, Puddlegate started when Spider-Man, the 2018 version of Spider-Man, the Sony Insomniac game, was releasing, where apparently there was issues because there wasn't any puddle. Was it no puddles or a few puddles, or I forgot what
was the puddles looked at. There were fewer puddles, and the game looked slightly different than it did when it was shown at the presentation.
I'm sorry, yeah, Jeff, I'm sorry, Jeff just said, no, who is it? Jeff just killed me right now, but I'll get back to that.
Yeah, it was the biggest nothing burger ever, and people were for some reason running with it, and Spider-Man ended up being one of the best games of that generation, and it's just, you know, looking back at it, the controversy was so dumb. Like even if it was something, it was nothing.
Yeah, that was stupid.
It was so dumb. Even the outrage. Even if the outrage was true, it was so fucking dumb.
Yeah, this one's funny. This is an old one right here. Logic wins. Pony's getting mad at Adam Sessler for giving Killzone 2 a 5 out of 5. I remember that episode of X-Play. They were mad because they thought X-Play was going to give the game low score to actually give it a 5 out of 5. They were still mad. I'm like, why are you mad? You know, and that's also when I learned, like, you guys realize that, like, you getting mad over review scores is stupid because you haven't played the game yet. Remember, you know how, like, you know, embargoes lift like a week or whatever before the game drops. Like, why are you mad about a score? You haven't played the game yet. You can't verify this itself. See another one here. Tim Dog switching sides. That's the one that cracked me up. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. The yellow chair controversy. Uh-oh. But, you know, that our friend Paris was involved with. But thank you for that segue. Since we're going to, you know, talking about people getting involved in, I got another one. And this one's personal. I got shit, man. I got problems, man. I got two involving me, you know? First, the motherfucking Nintendo community coming after me because I said that GTA 5 can't run on Switch. By the way, where is that port? It's been 7 years. Fucking, NeoGaf had a whole fucking thread on me. Idiot YouTubers are making videos about me saying how dumb I am. I'm just going to say it. A certain gaming publication, the biggest one out there, three letters, you know who I'm talking about. They decided to drop me because of these fucking Nintendo idiots, right? 7 years, where's that port? Maybe I was right. So there's that controversy.
Yeah, screw the BBC.
And then another one.
Does that mean we need to make a T-shirt with the silhouette of your head and it says Tony was right?
Yeah, right. Shit. And then the other controversy that I was also involved with was the Xbox Game Pass controversy, where, like, oh man, a lot of people are unsubscribing from Game Pass. No, it was two fucking journalists. Me and Gene Park, that was it. But Kotaku, the bastion of journalism, decided to make a post about it, and other sites too, you know? Oh, but Tony Polanco said this, Gene Park said that, and didn't cite anybody else, you know? So yeah, that was retarded, you know? Oh yeah, the Frost controversy, woo, that was a big one, you know? It's crazy, man. Blitz goes, actually, while not official, someone does have GTA 5 running on Switch. It runs pretty well. Yeah, I mean, you could do stuff, but where's the official one? That's what these guys were coming at me from, you know? They'll probably use that as ammo too. Hey, you said it could be. You know?
They dig up the old old postman. Yeah. Hey, this guy said it could be done. Look at this.
You know? Fucking idiots. All right, any other controversies that were just stupid?
PS3 has no grass.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Grassgate, as I'm calling it.
From, what was it, that game, Mafia.
Yeah, Mafia, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll just throw one in here for Brett. I'll just say all the Gamergate. It's one of the dumbest things ever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And now we have the sequel. Now we have the sequel. No. Because it is so appropriate that gaming had to have a remake of fucking Gamergate. Because everything's a remake now, you know?
Now it's all in HD now.
Kishak, what do the media have against me? The media don't have anything against me. It's these stupid fanboys, bro. Media, you know, they're fine with me. I am media, you know? It's the fanboys. They're the ones that don't like me. you know?
Well, Tony has an uncanny ability to inflame fanboys by saying one fucking word. So,
yeah.
So sometimes, so, you know, like I said, I think Tony is master of Twitter, because he'll say one thing or a short sentence, cuts right to the bone, and it literally sets aflame the fan communities. Doesn't matter what side, by the way.
I've upset all of them. But by the way, I find that funny because, like you said, that's just how I normally talk, right? But people like to go, "Oh, look, you worded that in a way to be clickbait." I'm like, no, it's just what came off the top of my head. I never even give this shit a second thought, you know.
No, nah, man, as we should probably make another t-shirt of Tony. It says, "Tony Polanco, the most quotable journalist in the industry."
Yeah. Must be my accent. But they don't even hear me. Most of my haters are on Twitter. No. They don't even know what I sound like. Most of these idiots don't even know I have a podcast.
They barely do.
Yeah, they don't even know I'm a journalist. It's just like, oh, look at this fucking idiot. You know, why is this guy always popping up on my timeline? Why is he always commenting on industry things? Why am I commenting on industry things? Why is he always talking about that? People are really fucking look at the bio, bro.
Why does he have a check mark?
Yeah. It's fucking dumbasses. And speaking about that, here's the funny thing. Now I get accused of like, oh, he's just saying these things for engagement because he gets paid. You have to have a blue check mark for that. I don't have a blue check mark. I'm so glad I don't. After, you know, they dropped the blue check marks, my engagement went way down, and I'm loving it. For the most part, I get to say things that nobody bothers me. You know, because there's these other fucking idiots that said, oh, he's just doing this shit for attention. He loves the attention. No, I always hated the attention. That fucking blue check mark was a bullseye. You know, and that, now that as soon as it went away, people are telling me, Tony, subscribe, get some money. I know I can make money off of Twitter. Fuck that. I'm free now. You know, I'm free now. I'm good. I don't give a fuck about engagement. I don't care about that. I'm just going to tweet out my thoughts. If you don't like it, too fucking bad. You know, that's your problem, not mine. You know, I know Brett's been giving me hit about that for years. Like, Tony, you got to think about how you say things. No, I fucking don't. You know, I'm just going to say how I want, you know, because obviously I'm not going to say anything outlandish. I'm not going to say anything, some crazy pedo shit or anything like that. I'm just, I love getting people upset by saying innocuous shit like Xbox Game Pass. That's all I got to do. Xbox Game Pass, Firestorm, you know.
What if you said grown man
gaming? Hip hop gamer possibly being in charge of the ECA. That's a throwback right there. Holy shit. GZDR, respect. I remember that, man. There was a controversy with the ECA because hip hop gamers allied with them and stuff. I remember that. People are like, oh, you got to kick them out of the organization because hip hop was saying some crazy shit back in the day, you know? But I could talk about other controversies too, but we're not going to get into that. Again, this podcast has been around forever, man. You know, we got some stuff, you know? All right. Anything else? Any other controversies you guys want to bring up? I guess that's it.
No. I feel like we covered a lot of good ones.
Yeah. The stupid controversies specifically, not just controversy in general, just, you know, super ones. There's always stupid ones. I feel like if we just go through the, you know, our past episodes, we just find a bunch of them, you know, because we're always covering them.
Logic Win says, I remember hip hop getting banned from 4G.
I remember that. I remember that.
Oh,
and
man.
4G those days, man.
That's probably longer. That's not that we said 15 years, right? So yeah, that's
we could go further back. You could go further back, yeah. But yeah, and 4G, remember that was like the dominant thing in gaming for a while, you know?
The aggregator before Twitter and you know, Reddit took over.
You know what? I could say this now because the site's been bought by like three different entities. So I'm not really talking shit anymore because I used to write for Dual Shockers. We milked that fucking site and 4G. You know, go ahead, Rich.
I didn't want to interrupt, but we have some breaking news. PlayStation just released a statement on their Twitter saying they're not moving forward with the linking.
Really? Comes back around. Oh shit!
And we thought they wouldn't do anything.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Good on you, Sony. This is good. This is for the gamers. This is good. You know.
I'm gonna say this.
Doubling down would have been fucking dumb. Go ahead, man.
Yeah.
I suspect the reason why this was happening is because they saw how much money they were losing.
Oh shit.
Steam was saying that they were giving back or giving refunds
yeah,
for this game. How many refunds were they giving before Sony's like, holy shit, what's going on? Who's taking
Valve's not going to eat
this. This is great news. Okay, so I'm going to read the statement. This is from Sony's official Twitter account. Helldivers fans, we've heard your feedback on the Helldivers 2 account linking update. The May 6th update, which would have required Steam and PlayStation Network account linking for new players and for current players beginning May 30th, will not be moving forward. We're still learning what is best for PC players, and your feedback has been invaluable. Thanks again for your continued support. Thanks again for your continued support of Helldivers 2. We'll keep you updated in future plans.
Very good.
I didn't think so either, because you know how Sony's been so bullheaded lately, you know? This is great. Great news. You know, the great way to wrap up the podcast, you know,
I think Manny's right. The deluge of refund requests and Valve must have been like, yo, you got to do something. Yeah. This is ridiculous. So they're getting pressure from all sides because the CEO of Arrowhead, he put out a statement. He's like, I'm working with them to try to find a resolution. Right. Yeah. So you get a pressure from the studio and people are obviously pissed off and requesting refunds. I saw people on Twitter showing the refund process to actually telling other people like, hey, you got to call this or you got to fill out this form or whatever, telling people how to request. Don't go through the automated one, right? You'll get rejected because it's over 2 hours you played. It worked.
No, it's great. By the way, I knew Jay Shep was going to ask the question. My man, because he was of the stance that Sony should hold its ground and not change no matter what. So he was coming at it from that standpoint. So he has a question for us now. Will what just happened set a new precedent in the future that all you have to do it to move Sony's hand is review bomb their games? But I think it sets a precedent of Sony needs to listen to the fans. You know, go ahead, Manny.
It also has nothing to do with review bombs. If they were losing money,
that's what it really is.
This thing was making a lot of money, and it, all of a sudden they're losing money. No, that's why they made this decision. If it wasn't affecting their bottom line, they
wouldn't care. That's exactly
what it is. It wasn't the review bombing. It's the fact that Valve was issuing refunds, and they were like, "Oh shit, we're losing a lot of money here." You know, and it must have been enough money where they're like, okay, we're going to stop this. You know, so it must have been a lot. This is good. This is really good news. And it goes to show you that if gamers put their minds to it, we can do good things. We spend so much time arguing about nonsense, but in the few instances when gamers actually put their minds to something good, a worthwhile cause, shit gets done. You know, again, like I always say, vote with your wallet. Vote with your wallet. You know, you can get things done. This is fantastic news. You know, great. That shit nips it in the bud, you know? And it also kind of fucks up this episode.
Kishag mentions, do you think it being Golden Week in Japan caused this since everyone's on vacation?
No, it's because of the fucking money they were losing, you know?
Yeah. And PlayStation's headquartered here now.
Yeah, they're headquartered here, yeah. So. Yeah. All right,
but it is Golden Week in Japan. That's why there was no One Piece chapter.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Coming up, Bliss says, coming up next, tomorrow's next gaming controversy. Yeah, this still would have dominated the discourse, you know, this week in particular.
And it shows, you know, when you're a company like Sony, you can nip stuff in the bud pretty quickly, and this is a way to do it.
Yeah.
They nipped it in the bud. This won't be much of a controversy anymore.
Yeah, great question here, Kishak. Will the negative reviews on Steam be reversed by the people, or will it stay? Can you delete your like reviews? Can you do that?
You can change them.
Okay, change.
So
okay.
Yeah,
yeah. So that'll so be up to whoever. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, that's up to the people.
Yeah,
and to be honest, I don't blame them if they don't change it just to serve as a scar and say, okay, this is what happened. You know, as like a mark of history, like this is what happened, and it'll stay here. So I don't think they'll change it, just on principle.
We give it to you, the people.
yeah, it's up to the individuals to do that. Wow, what a wild turn of events, man. But it's good. Gamers won in the end. That's fantastic. All right, handing it on a good note. That's fantastic. All right, Rich, what is going on with the coalition, sir?
Oh, yeah, so Shout out to Mr. Danny Martinez. He actually did a video review for No Rest for the Wicked that is currently on the website and on the Coalition Gaming YouTube channel. So check that out. Let us know what you think about the game. Check out his review. We have a lot of other reviews and content coming to the website soon. So stay tuned. Obviously, you know, a couple of games dropping later this month. So we'll definitely have something to say about those games. So stay tuned.
Shout out to Kishak. He goes, this is the best podcast episode yet. I appreciate that, man. Listen, half of the fun is you guys in the chat. You know, this is why we love doing the show live, man. Like, you know, yeah, we could do a pre-record like we used to back in the day, but it's better to have you guys in there because you make it more lively. So shout out to you guys, man. You're the ones that made this podcast great and continue making it great, you know? Yeah, roller coaster for sure, you know? Going crazy, you know? Logic wins. Thank you, sir. He goes, awesome show. Yeah, man. Throw down, man, for life, you know? Or until we're too old to play games. By the way, real quick, I want to give a shout out to the Happy Console Gamer. He just put out a video celebrating his 50th birthday. So 10 years ago, he did the 40-year-old gamer episode. Now he did the 50-year-old gamer episode. Chris, you're going to be the first one to cross that line now because Adam's not on. You're the oldest guy on here. But Manny and I, 6 years, we're going to be there, you know, the 50-year-old gamers. It's awesome, man. So, yeah, keep on gaming, man. Keep on gaming, you know, because, again, you know, going back to backlogs real quick. If gaming gets to a point where I really, really don't like what they're what they got and I got that itch, I do have that backlog there, you know. So no obligation. Just play what I want, you know. It'd be crazy. All right, man, we're done here. Yeah, this was a crazy episode, you know. Like, breaking news. You know. It's crazy, man. All right. Anyway, you can follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join a Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And even though we've been here for 5 months already, we are back on YouTube. You know, as a matter of fact, like half of the people watching us right now are on YouTube. Shout out to you guys. You know, we got join the conversations too, man. You know, you guys have been quiet. Even though we love the lurkers here as well, you know. But yeah, YouTube. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, be notified, you know, especially hit like. It helps us with the algorithm, you know, for whatever good that does. I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'm doing the outro here. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brian Manjoma.
Let's see what will happen next week.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
Hold on, Rich. I thought you wanted to close us out with something, man.
Yes. Let me just say
this. You got a diss track, Rich?
Let me just say this. Family matters, but they're not like us. Game over.
All right, there you go. All right, people, we'll be back for next week's controversy on Throwdown. Later.